1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here today.
You should be pumped to be here. I'm pumped. Yeah.
We still can't see you. I hate that.
I know. It's okay. But we're, we're battling demons over here for you guys. And especially this episode, we've had to re-record it.
Yep. This is the second time.
Yeah. We're back in somewhere to re-record this. I never know where we are. You always know where we are.
Always.
Yeah. So where are we?
Today?
Yeah.
Today we are in New Delhi.
New Delhi.
Capital of India.
Okay. All right. Yep. Hopefully the war doesn't come over here.
I just think it's so strange that we always black out all the windows and everything, even though we're in these exotic locations. Like, yeah. What's the point?
Well, that's actually a contract. I can answer that. That's contractual with the country. They don't want their scenery seen unless we give them a bunch of money, and we don't have it.
You know,
so please donate.
No, all of our money is spent on transportation to these exotic locations that we can't pay the fees to show them to.
To show them.
But it's great. Street food here is fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna be talking about silence.
Silence. Yep.
We're ironically going to be talking about silence today. I like that.
Yeah.
And not the Heritage Foundation, not the Heritage House. We're going to be talking about heritage.
Heritage.
But not the concept of heritage. Heritage is a noun that's a place name in this situation, right?
Exactly. Yes. So we're at that level. We're Beyonce level. One word. That's all we need.
I love that. I really like it. You went with Beyonce. I went with Prince. I think that shows like an age.
I went with Zendaya.
Yeah. Zendaya. Oh, that's another. Yeah.
If okay. We spelled heritage with a three instead of an E, I would have gone with Prince. But
I like that.
Yeah.
Prince just made up a whole letter for himself.
I know.
Like a whole like symbol. I remember that. I remember the little chyrons that would say the singer formerly known as Prince.
Yeah, didn't he make up a, like, he changed his name to something, like, unpronounceable?
It's just, I don't know, I just remember the weird shape that we were supposed to all collectively as a society pretend meant the word Prince for a while. So, I don't know, famous people are weird.
Yeah, very weird.
All right, guys, so before we get started on the second episode of the exact same material,
yes.
Which we're all prepped for now. We're going to be really, really good at it. I want to start with prayer and some fun facts. JJ, obviously you have to pray because you're
of course
Byzantine Rite.
Of course.
I've been better at it.
Praying for 5 hours just to practice.
Perfect.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to you, O God. Glory be to you, Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth. Thank you so much for bringing us together again. We decide to come at the lost episode, not with fear, but with faith that if you allowed this, that what is happening is in your will and is bigger and better than we can imagine. Please send your spirit upon us. Please fill us on this Corpus Christi with faith in the real presence in the Eucharist and allow that faith to pour into our lives and our conversations. We ask all this through your mother, the Theotokos and Ever Virgin Mary. Amen.
Amen. You're just showing off at this point. That was so good. I don't grade prayers anymore, but if I did, that would be a solid, like, 97. That was so good.
Oh, thank you.
So good. You're dropping in Theotokos.
I was about to say, you
sprinkling
just like
some Greek in there. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Is it Corpus Christi for the Byzantines, or do they have a separate calendar?
I don't know, actually. We do have a separate calendar. I don't think it's Corpus Christi for us, but I like to support my Roman brothers and sisters.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate the Latin,
of course.
Latin Rite. I am, obviously, the emissary. I can speak for the entire Latin Rite.
Yeah.
And we collectively appreciate your help. We're brothers.
Yeah, and we just know that, like, we've got things pretty settled. Like, we're just overflowing with people here in the U.S. We wanted to help out the Romans.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with a Russian Orthodox gal the other day. It was really interesting. Yeah, it was really interesting. She was actually, like, legit. Not Russian Orthodox outside Russia. She's like Russian Orthodox under Patriarch Kirill. And it was wild. It was really, really interesting.
With an accent or no? So
oh, yeah. From Russia.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to give the context where we met, but it was super, super interesting. I just don't want to, like, tie down to who it was. I wasn't, like, buying guns.
Oh, yeah, no, I, well.
but buying black market AK-47s from before the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Right. They weren't black market. You were at a gun show.
Yeah, you buy them anyway.
This is blessed by the Holy Patriarch.
It was wild. I told you, we've talked on the show before. Our former college is currently a Coptic.
It is, yeah, which I actually think the Coptics are loosely aligned with Rome. They're not.
I think they're monophysites.
They're monophysites?
I want to say they're monophysites.
Okay,
I don't know. Like a split, like there's some Copts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
who are in union with us and some who aren't.
Yeah.
That's how it is with a lot of the Eastern churches, right? It's like these guys realized, okay, all right. And then we were like, all right, we still friends? Cool. Yeah. And then these are just doubling down. I want to do a whole episode talking about Orthodoxy. I think Orthodoxy is super interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
We need them. I want them.
I want them so badly.
Yeah. We're so close.
I know. We're like right here. And it makes it worse that we're so close almost. Like the Protestants, I feel like, this might be kind of clickbaity. I feel so much love for the Orthodox that I struggle to feel for the Protestants because I feel like modernity is their fault.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a Protestant's fault. I mean, relativism that stems from sort of this Lutheran understanding of you get to be your own pope, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas the Orthodox, we're like, let's just agree on some stuff. Yeah. Can't we just sit down, recognize some saints, like work out filioque way? We did that like a year or two ago, didn't we? We're like, no, we both, that was like a Latin Greek thing. We're cool now. But I want that. If I were Pope tomorrow, that would be my number one priority.
Yeah, I like that. I actually met a Lutheran yesterday, and we were talking, and there was a bunch of Catholics around. I said, oh, you're Catholic? And he goes, I'm almost Catholic. And I was like, oh, are you converted? He goes, no, I'm Lutheran.
Hey, wait a minute. That's not almost Catholic. Did your lesbian bishop tell you that? Okay, I'm sorry. We can cut that out if we need to from the audience. It's true. Anyway, we're not talking about any of that today. We're gonna dig into everything, but first we gotta do fun facts. And how many times have you been on the show, Charlie? Once?
This is the second time.
Second time of the repeat of this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, so you owe us three fun facts again. Sorry.
Three. You can do the same three.
Olivia, is this your second time on it too?
Yeah. So I'll be exact.
You owe us three too. You just owe us one, JJ. Yeah. Yes.
Nice. Who goes first?
JJ, obviously. Yeah.
I've been helping do advertising for braces for 5 years.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It's not that I keep on having weddings come up on the surgery dates and have to cancel them. But just see, their braces good. They help make your teeth nice.
Mm-hmm. Are you? Wait.
If you're listening on the radio, he actually just showed his braces. So make sure you pull over.
Which are lovely. Mm. Your teeth look pretty straight, though.
Yeah. Let me tell you why.
Yeah. Say 5 years.
It's like 4 or 5 years. Wow. The scheduling's turns out a young adult working out his schedule with a massive hospital.
Right.
Can be hard to nail dates down. It's
5 years of free advertisement for the braces, for big braces.
Exactly.
All right. Awesome.
It's been working. I've seen lots of people with braces.
Interesting that you bring that up because this episode of Honest to God is actually brought to you by Atlanta Orthodontics. Mm-hmm. All of them collectively.
Every single one.
All of them in the metro area.
They reach out independently though, right?
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked out.
But it happened to be that every single one of them reached out and sponsored this episode of Honest to God. I think that's providential. All right, Charlie, what you got? You owe us three.
Okay, when you're put on the spot, you start to blank.
What kills you? What kills you?
Oh, yes. Rice is a threat to my life.
That's it? You have a rice allergy?
Jeffrey Dahmer never threatened me, but rice did.
You have a rice allergy?
Yes, I do.
In real life?
In real life.
Like, you're really, like, deathly allergic to rice.
I'm deathly allergic to more things than rice.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like what?
Like... all grains.
All of them?
Yeah. And all nuts.
Whoa. They're overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
Go carnivore anyway. Yeah.
That's what all the cool guys are doing right now. They're doing the carnivore only thing.
Caveman didn't know. He could have been a caveman. He wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
I know.
That's true.
I just would have died. Someone would have found me and been like, oh, yeah.
No, you wouldn't have died. You'd just been eating meat.
There would be no rice.
I think regularly, way too often probably, about how many cool berries we're probably missing out on because the first caveman that ate them was just allergic to that kind of berry. And now I don't get to taste these awesome berries that I should be eating, but Gerg, the caveman, ate one, anaphylactic shock, and now everybody's like, no, don't touch those berries. Yeah. So
you'd probably find them in the Middle Earth.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right, that still just counted as one, though.
Okay. I have... made a short film.
Sick. What is it?
Oh, it's terrible. It's just me interviewing people.
I won't watch it if you don't want me to. But
no, okay. it was for a student project.
What was it?
It was for a student project.
Okay.
And then
I made a great short film with my kids during COVID.
Oh, that's
like 30 minutes long. It's really good. There's lots of violence, and the witch gets killed, and it's excellent, excellent movie. My wife was in it. I had four kids at the time. They were all in it. The dogs were in it. They had, like, important speaking roles. It was great.
It sounds like an expensive production.
I got to send you this link. Yeah, wow. Very good.
Put a lot of work into that.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And then I've got pretty cool sneakers, and I don't think that's a brag because it's just...
Are you a sneaker guy?
Cool. Not really. Well, you want me to take my shoe off?
No, you don't have to. I trust you. I'm envisioning what I think, like, sort of the platonic ideal of cool sneakers would look like. Yeah.
No.
They're better than that.
Yeah.
Are they?
I see what you're thinking.
Forms lives the perfect pair of sneakers.
I think you're going to have to show us now. I mean, we're all...
Play-Doh? Okay.
You may have to.
Yeah, go ahead. I may have to.
They're high tops.
Olivia can get started on her fun facts, maybe, while he's...
One of the things of this episode is silence. We're going to sit in silence while our listeners hear. Oh, shut up. Those are cool sneakers.
If you're listening on the radio, pull over now and look at the YouTube so that you can see.
I'm not going to say what's on them. They have to go on the YouTube. Those are really cool and, like, liturgically appropriate sneakers.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you get those custom made?
I was looking up custom-made Catholic shoes, and then I found out I didn't need to, because there is a website called Saints and Sneakers that you can buy these from.
What's the website?
Saints and Sneakers.
Oh, and they have multiple different types of sneakers that have Jesus-y and saint stuff on it?
Yes.
No way.
There will be a link in the show notes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm so pumped, actually. That's really cool. I mean, they're Chuck Taylor's, for anybody who's listening, that's got some really cool imagery on it that I'm not going to say because you have to watch.
Yeah.
Every episode of Honest God, after you listen to it at 4 o'clock on Saturday, you have to go on the YouTube.
And push that like button and put a comment down there. Subscribe and then hit the share button. Send it to 10 friends.
Yeah, argue.
Or so you can go ahead.
Write something controversial that you don't believe. Write about Jewish space lasers. Whatever you want. Just something. Make people mad. Get them talking.
Yeah.
Feed the algorithm.
Bollywood.
All right. Olivia, how about you? You have three.
Yes. I'm from roughly 700 miles from here.
Where?
Eunice, Louisiana.
Eunice, Louisiana.
Yeah.
It's a great city. Everybody loves Eunice, Louisiana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone.
I like Louisiana. I like rural Louisiana a lot.
It's not that rural, but
it's
like in the middle.
Like a duck hunt out there,
this is going to sound so funny. I have a bunch of ceramic body parts.
Oh.
Not on.
Like, oh, okay, all right. But like, your body parts are all real. You've got one of everything that you should have. Okay. But then you, why? That's weird.
I have a degree in ceramics.
That makes more sense. Less weird now.
My senior capstone project was all about emotions and feelings and stuff, and I portrayed that with body parts.
That's super cool. Okay, I dig that.
And then I have two cats.
What are the names? I'm going to judge you based on the cat's names.
Mushi and Earl Grey.
We had this conversation.
We did.
Yeah, I do. I seriously judge people based on cat names all the time.
That's had fun cat names.
Yeah, well, my cat Eric just died.
Aww.
He was killed by some scoundrel in the woods. It was a cat scoundrel. We don't have like a cat murderer and like human in the woods. But I'm pretty torn up about it. Shibuzi's doing great.
Shibuzi, that was... Yeah, I like
Shibuzi, Dadu.
I like random noises.
Yeah, it was named by my nephew, who's two. What he named it.
I discovered Mushi is a Bible name.
No, it's not.
It's in the Old Testament.
No, it's not.
I don't know if it's M-U-S-H-I.
Good or bad?
I don't remember.
I can only produce female children. And so I have a son, but since 2011, I've only
been able to... John Henry VIII over here.
Yeah, yeah. Ever since then, it's been girl, 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 girl. My wife's currently pregnant with that fifth girl. And so we're always talking about girl names, right? Because we're, like, out. Like, I don't have any girl names left, right? And my mom texted me one day a big list of girl names that she liked that were biblical, because she knows we're religious and whatever. And I guess she just Googled biblical girl names, and one of them was Lilith. And I had to explain to my mother that Lilith is like the legendary Hebrew foil of Eve, like the queen of demons and really, really bad. And I'm not going to name my daughter Lilith. So, she hasn't sent us many girl names.
Number two, Jezebel.
Lilith, Jezebel.
Number three, the whore of Babylon. Those are your options.
So I have no idea what we're going to name this baby. Literally none. No clue.
Olivia.
Okay. Done. That was easy. Great. Yeah, I like it. There were a lot of Olivias. When did you graduate high school, if you don't mind saying there? 18. When I was a kid, there were like 7 Olivias in my class. Mm-hmm. And it was like a super popular name then. Were there a lot of Olivias in your class?
I had another Olivia in my class. I went to a very small Catholic school. Okay. I graduated with 30 people.
But you still managed to have another Olivia?
I had another Olivia in my class, and while I was in high school, there were four other Olivias, like, in the whole high school.
Last year at the school where I work, 10%, oh, no, I think it was 9%, I did the math, of all the girls in the school were named Sophia.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. My kid is John Henry Jr., right? I'm named after my father and my grandfather and his father. Like, we got this long line, right? So we call him, his name's John Henry Jr., we call him Henry. But since then, Henry became super popular. Now there's all these other Henrys in this world. I'm mad because I feel like they haven't earned it. Like, no. We've had this name for hundreds of years in our family. You don't get to just decide you like this old name. I don't know. So, bothers me.
Named really after strong. Henry VIII?
Was that?
Were y'all named after Henry VIII?
No, we were not named after Henry VIII.
That's why you have so many girls.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm loving it. Hashtag girl dad. Like, I'm embracing it. All right, so let's stop talking about this. Instead, I want... Maybe we can start in the last half of this first segment here talking about heritage in general. And then second half, after we do some little... Maybe a little bit of brainstorming so I can understand more of... what the word silence that's written on my show notes here means, we can get into that. But I want to talk about heritage. I want to talk about what it is. I want to talk about what you do there. Charlie, you're wearing a shirt with it on
there. Yes, I thought, get some free marketing for heritage.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you kick us off? Tell us what it is.
Okay, so it is a retreat center that has opened very recently, built on the grounds where the very first Catholic settlers in Georgia ever went.
Oh, cool.
In 1790, a group of Catholic settlers from Maryland moved down here and settled there. And
where is it? Sorry?
It's right outside of Sharon, Georgia. It's kind of like 20 minutes from Washington, Georgia, a smaller town, okay. And then it's a little bit north.
But not almost. Coastal?
No, it's about an hour north of Augusta.
Okay.
Almost an hour north. And so, yeah.
West? Or west of Augusta, right?
It could be northwest.
No directions, I don't.
Yeah, because if it's an hour north, it's in South Carolina. So it's probably northwest.
Yeah, off right off I-20.
Cool, like on the Savannah River?
Pretty close. I don't know where that is.
No.
I just assumed that the first
off
settlers...
Beaver Creek.
Of course.
Which is a creek we named after the beaver that built it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they set up shop there.
That's awesome. All right, and what is it?
It is a retreat center with, you know, prayer spaces, Catholic devotions, and cottages that guests can stay in. We've got the chapel, we've got dining hall, we've got prayer room, library, and it's just like a beautiful place. It's on 200 acres where people can just go out in nature and reconnect with the Lord in silence.
And so you guys work there, right?
Yes.
Are you like missionaries, like in a life team sense? Like, what do you do there?
A little bit. We do. Yeah. I tell everyone it's kind of like being a monk without being a monk and also doing lots of hotel work.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
how so?
Exactly. Just the beds, the sheets, the laundry. But also, there's something I've noticed that people who come really like seeing young Catholics,
sure.
Like young adult Catholics who actually care about their faith.
Yeah.
And it's a great two-way thing of I love seeing older Catholics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like seeing like, okay, the path I'm going on has a good direction.
Right.
And they like seeing like, okay, people are still on the path and kind of offering an ear to people when they need something.
Yeah.
Need to get something off their chest.
Do you guys live there? You actually live on campus or whatever you'd call it? You live at on the grounds?
Mm-hmm. We did.
We did.
I still do.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the clientele? Like, that's what, like, your individuals coming? Is it like church retreats or confirmation retreats? What's the...
The clientele is mostly adults, but it is quite a mixture. We have mostly middle-aged to older, but we still have some younger people. We've got retreats that are like adult retreats.
Are you running the retreats, or is it more like a venue?
Venue.
Yeah. Okay.
You can, like, kind of... We have all the way from, like, doing, like, your own personal retreats. Mm-hmm. Like, if you wanted to just, like, go for the weekend, you can book that and do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can bring, like, a group from like your church,
okay,
like, and like you can lead your own retreat, or we have speakers come out and like host their retreat
there. Okay,
so like Immaculate is coming in September.
Immaculate, cool.
Hill, yeah. Pisa is coming in September, so we just like open that on our website you can go online and like register for it and book a room. And
that's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. Is there like is there a priest there assigned to you?
Yeah. So yeah. Monsignor Lopez has been what? There, but he's actually leaving yeah. this.
Oh, I love Monsignor Lopez. He's Sunday the mass. Man.
Yeah. Today
was his last Sunday mass.
Oh. Oh. Where's he going?
He's going to Our Lady of the Assumption
in Brookhaven.
Okay. He's We're more getting, like a downtown Atlanta priest, I feel like, anyway.
Father James Oberly is coming.
Father James Oberly is coming.
Okay, I don't know him.
He's not in our archdiocese. He's coming from Virginia, I think.
So is it just a... So it's essentially just like a... It's not like a Hidden Lake or a Cove Crest where it's like owned by a certain whatever, like Life Team, they do their own retreats, but it's just a place, a contemplative, quiet Catholic place where you can go and do Catholic things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Exactly.
And you do food and lodging and all that stuff in house.
Yeah, you get like your house and not your house, but like your cottage and your meals included. You get a
cottage?
Yeah, oh, so yeah. We have studios, one bedrooms, and two bedroom cottages.
That's awesome.
So we actually just upgraded our studios from twin beds to queen size beds.
Heck yeah.
So you and your partner can go.
Yeah. I just got back from Catholic Family Land in Bloomingdale, Ohio. You guys ever been there? You ever heard
I've
of this?
I've heard of it.
Oh, it's the best. Go to Catholic Family Land. Not now. It'd be weird if you went by yourself.
Sounds like an amusement park.
But I know. It's like a family camp, essentially. And we just stayed in a cottage would be a really generous term. But it was
Adirondacks.
It was about like the size of this studio. Double bunk beds, and then a double bed, and then a loft where I slept, so my wife and the baby could sleep in the double bed because the baby wouldn't sleep in her pack and play. And I brought all the way from Georgia and had to move the refrigerator to get his head. But anyway, it's fun. It's actually kind of like that, right? There's a lot of you have mass together in the mornings, but then for the rest of the day, you can kind of do whatever you want. There's 10,000 different cool things going on, and you just like release your children into the wild, and they just run around feral. All day.
We just had that.
Yeah.
We did our first family weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Pretty great. You can do church stuff in the morning if it's one of the church days, and then release your kids into the wild.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Fishing and outdoor games and puzzles and
coloring sheets.
And that's not a super Catholic area, I assume.
It was. It's not anymore, but there's still some people who have been Catholic for generations there.
Like, old Southern Catholicism, I think, is really cool. I'm a big Flannery O'Connor guy. I really, we watched Gone with the Wind not too long ago, and it's neat how there's been a strain of it here forever, right? Like, the first church services said in Georgia ever that were Christian were Catholic, right? The Spaniards on the islands off the coast and the Georgia martyrs and stuff early on. And I think we forget that because we just think sort of like Bible Belt Protestantism as opposed to the pretty rich Catholic heritage that we have in the Southern U.S.
Have you ever read any of Walker Percy?
No, but I'm familiar.
He's really good. He was really interesting. He's kind of like Flannery O'Connor, but a lot bizarre in a different way. Mm-hmm. Bizarre more in just like he's very like philosophical, and he just writes like these novels that are almost like treatises on like whatever's going on.
Is he Catholic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Catholic Southern author.
We need to do like a Catholic Southern Gothic episode.
Yeah, that would be good.
I could just nerd out on some of this stuff. We used to have a peacock named Flannery. Yeah, I bought my wife peacocks for Christmas one year, and then a bear ate them. Actually, a bear only ate one. And anyways, long story. I won't go through the whole peacock saga here. No, but that's super cool. How long has it been open? How long's Just Heritage been there?
So the first retreats there probably started 5-6 years ago, but it opened for overnight guests, so you could have multiple day retreats last year.
Who owns it? I mean, is it a diocesan, or is it owned by a certain like benefactor or order?
Yeah, so we're in full partnership with the Archdiocese, mm-hmm. like on the Archdiocese website, mm-hmm. and we have lots of priests come out. It's actually owned by a convert Catholic.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Betsy Orr converted... I think a little over 10 years ago, maybe 12 or something, and she's an excited Catholic who found out about the exciting Catholic history here in Georgia, of all places. And the diocese had kind of been leasing the property out to deer hunters, and she's like, what if Catholics came here?
And hunted deer. Yeah. Can I hunt deer there?
No.
I'll go if I can hunt deer there, for sure.
Honestly, it might be worth changing it just for you.
Yeah, great. Yeah, would you mind asking?
I saw one of the original deer stands out there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Especially that it was founded by a convert. Once again, Catholicism just seems to be blossoming right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not just in, I mean, particularly in the South, right? But that's just because that's what I'm around. It feels like in the Western world in general, all of a sudden we're like, coming back, baby. Like, we were talking about off air earlier. Yeah. All these young guys, all these young people who are coming up. I think that France just broke a ton of records on Easter Sunday and Pentecost with new baptisms into the faith and stuff. I don't know. Just feeling good.
I think people want to be Christian, and the less Christian the society gets, the more of those people have to become Catholic.
I think we've finally gotten to a point where the pendulum has swung so far.
Yeah.
In one direction.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
With the pendulum. Yeah, you saw it going just
hard.
Way hard, and now it's coming back. I mean, it has to. It's just physics.
Yeah.
I think Spiritual physics.
I think, too, to talk about the Protestants and the Orthodox again, I think people are, like, excited about and interested in liturgy again.
Mm-hmm.
And so, are they going to stay in Protestantism if
right,
that's
exactly.
the case? So it's like a lot of people are coming here, or they're coming to Orthodoxy, hopefully coming from Orthodoxy to here.
Yeah, Orthodoxy is a great pit stop if you're a Protestant on your way back to the fullness of faith found in the Roman Catholic Church. You can hang out with the Ortho Bros for a little bit, and then read. Do some reading, get into some history, and then come across the Tiber. The water's fine, guys.
Yes.
You want to say something real quick? This isn't important at all, but I think Betsy converted like 17 years ago.
I was about to call you out on that.
It was her like anniversary.
That's right.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. 17. Yeah.
She like just, that's awesome. Is she?
I didn't want to like give the wrong facts out.
No, she's right. 17 years.
17 years. Well, congratulations, Betsy Orr.
Yeah, congratulations.
Fantastic.
Betsy. And you know what she did? She became Catholic and started leading a bunch of Bible studies. And if you're Protestant, we need that. Please.
Yes,
come
please.
To the Catholic Church and lead Bible studies for us. We love you and we want you.
Yeah. 100%. I would love that. All right, well, we have 1 minute left before we take our break. I want like a 1 minute elevator pitch for why we should, our listeners should come check out Heritage.
Or like a 30-second one.
30-second one. Go.
Okay. If you need to find Jesus, come to the place where the first Catholics brought their love of Jesus. And if you need silence, which you do if you're living anywhere close to Atlanta, come to 200 Acres of Silence, where there's nothing but our chapel and a little cottage for you to read some Flannery O'Connor in.
That was a really good elevator pitch. I dig that.
Yeah.
And maybe hunt deer later. We'll see. All right, so I'm glad that you left us off on silence, because that's going to be our jumping off point for as soon as we come back. We're going to talk about the power of silence, the importance of silence in prayer, and how difficult that is. And this is something that I need to hear as much as anyone who's listening needs to hear, for sure. So, JJ, Charlie, Olivia, thanks for being here. We're going to be right back after a quick break. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
You can start it now, but you can't start it on me throwing out ridiculous conspiracy theories.
That's right. Yeah.
That's nonsense.
If you're interested in what we actually talk about, we would love to have you on the show, though. So make sure you send us an email. It's youngadults@thequestatlanta.com and say, hey, I'm interested in maybe being on the show. We're helping out behind the scenes. We've got a lot of things that we're doing here. Trying to reach the young adult souls, as well as, really parents of young adults and teens that are going to become young adults soon.
Absolutely.
We got a ton of listeners.
We do. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we're multiple radio stations and on Spotify and, of course, on YouTube. We love the YouTube.
Yeah, big shout out, not just to our listeners in Atlanta, but we got them out in Athens,
that's right. Yeah, and we're working on some other radio stations. That, they have not committed fully yet, but... Yeah. That 4 o'clock hour is prime time.
What does everybody do at 4 o'clock on a Saturday? That's right. Turn on AM radio.
That's right. Yeah.
And when you do,
Yeah. We're there.
Or if you're in Athens, it's actually FM. They've got a really powerful FM.
Oh, we're on FM in Athens. Yeah. Heck yeah.
105.7. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening out there in Athens.
I dig it. All right. Well, sort of antithetically, let's talk about not talking. Mm. I want to dig into silence. So first of all, I just want to ask, how did this topic come up, right? I think primarily our Janice said, hey, you guys should come on, talk about what you're doing over there at Heritage. And then did you all suggest, was that something for one of you guys that we really want to talk about silence? I mean, I guess it does kind of go with the theme of the Heritage retreat, but why are we talking about this to begin with?
Kathy? I think so.
Yeah.
I was told.
We didn't come up with it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Kathy at the Quest?
Yeah.
What is the one?
Well, she's at Heritage.
Oh, she's at Heritage now. I didn't know that. Cool.
She's in charge of us.
Yeah.
Or in charge of me now.
Yeah, so you guys don't work there anymore.
Supervisor.
We're both doing part-time, and Olivia, what are you doing?
I'm the only MSA at the moment.
What's the MSA?
Ministry and Service Ambassador.
So you do a lot of bed making and laundry and that stuff?
So do you need more MSAs?
Well, we have, for the next year, the hope is 2 boys and 2 girls. Mm-hmm. We have 2 girls and 1 boy, so
okay. We're
looking for another boy.
That's cool. I think we talked about this the last time that you were on, but I think it's really cool that it's a job that is Catholic, but not like a quote-unquote Catholic job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's harder and harder to find places that are where you're surrounded by people who share your faith and share your values, mm-hmm. unless it's a specific, like, I am a life team missionary. I am a net missionary. And it's like, no, you have a real job doing real stuff, right? But you're working for this Catholic organization and you're tied into it in a way, but your full-time job isn't like going out and giving talks and like taking kids on water slides or whatever. I just think that's cool. I wish we had more really Catholic, like, I don't know, avenues that people could pursue career-wise. I'm spoiled. I work in a Catholic school that's like an actual Catholic school. And so I'm surrounded by people. I forget how the outside world is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so scared when I leave this place.
Like, I know.
And I'm very fortunate I'm staying another year.
Yeah.
And they offered me to stay another year. So, when I have to go back to the real world, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I find myself all the time, like, at family things and whatever. I'll be saying or talking about something that I think is just sort of normal. Everybody thinks this way, right? And I'm just met with, like, looks of horror. And how could you say that? I'm like, that's even controversial, right?
It's just true.
Yeah. No. Clearly, we should forcibly take Istanbul and give it back to the Greeks. What do you mean? But seriously, I mean that unironically. It belongs to Istanbul is Constantinople. Okay. Exactly. So I want to dig into the silence thing.
I do, but I would like to add to what you said of like, yes, it's a good Catholic job for like people looking to flow into like, maybe you're not becoming a priest, but maybe you just want to figure out how do I plan to work in life?
Right.
And I would like to say, like, to the young Catholic guys out there, like Olivia said, we're looking for one more young Catholic guy. So
21 to 26.
Yes.
Exactly. Awesome. If you're trying to become a priest, come out here and discern. If you're not trying to become a priest, come out here and discern how to work in the world. Go to heritagega.org. And send us an email.
We'll put it in the show notes, too.
Yeah.
Really quick and easy.
Exactly.
I dig that. I think we need that. Because there is, like I said, it's not ministry, but you are ministering to people, mm-hmm. which is really cool. I think it's neat. All right. So let's talk about not talking. Mm. Okay?
Someone has to do it.
Silence in particular. And it's starting to make sense to me, right? It seems like the whole vibe of Heritage in general is we're going to literally retreat from the world. We're going to go somewhere where the world is not, right? Where there's no hustle and bustle, out in the middle of nowhere, a couple hundred acres, little cottage, and exist and be with our Lord in silence. Mm. Somebody tell me why that's important. I mean, obviously it is, but why? Yeah.
In the Bible, we see very clearly in many places that the holiest of people who were in direct communion with God didn't just be like, oh, I'm in direct communion with God, so I don't need to retreat. Moses would go up on the mountain. Elijah would go up on mountains. Pretty much everyone went up on mountains. Yeah, mountains, good place. Nature's a great place. And I was reading in the life of St. Anthony of Padua, who's just an amazing saint.
Super cool guy.
The more I learn about him, he's like... one of the quintessential saints that even fallen away Catholics will pray to St. Anthony when they lose their keys.
And it works, by the way. Big it shout works. Out to St. Anthony. Thanks for all the hard work you're putting in up there.
Thank you so much.
I found many a thing thanks to your intercession. Yeah,
exactly. And he was so holy, he would retreat all the time. He was a very good public speaker, but he would go into the trees. He'd go into caves. Just, we have 2,000 years of history, even farther, because Moses was doing it, Abraham was doing it, showing if you want to hear God, withdraw from everyone else that is talking.
Totally.
And listen to him.
And in no time does it seem more relevant for us to remove ourselves from everything. I mean, you talk about living in a world that's surrounded by nothing but noise. And when I say noise, for the record, I want to make it clear. I'm not just talking about audible noise. I'm talking about distractions too, right? Because we were saying off air a minute ago, right? If you get your phone out and you don't have the volume on, but you're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through pictures and articles and tweets and whatever, that is lame. That is so unnatural, right? Even if you're not Catholic, even if you don't care, right? It's still just not good for you. Did I ever tell you guys about, I probably talked about this the first time when we filmed this before I got corrupted, about my buddy who had the Pustinia? Talk about a Pustinia?
I don't think so.
I talk about Pustinias a lot. All right, so Pustinia, I don't know what that means, but that's what they called it. They had a house. It was more of a shed, right? Probably 200 square feet with a loft out in the woods, like a hike behind their house in the back end of their property. And in it was like a bed and a wood burning stove and a bookshelf. And they were like, no, this is like our private retreat house. Sometimes you need a day. You go out there to the Pustinia. And it was just like Lives of the Saints, Bible, like just cool religious stuff. It was like, no, you leave your phone and go out there, shut up. Maybe it's just an afternoon. Maybe it's for a couple hours to whatever. Maybe it's a day. Maybe it's, you know, we're I'm going to take the kids up and we're going to go to the beach or whatever for this weekend. Honey, enjoy your Pustinia time. And I thought that was like the level of self-mastery that it would take to do that was the coolest thing in the entire world. So I want to do that. I got a great hill. It's more of a mountain behind my house. I'm going to make like an act of service of lugging up all the lumber and then building a Pustinia up there.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
No one would ever hear that and be like, that's not cool.
Nobody, right?
Everyone deep down knows like having the strength to reject all the noise.
Right.
And go out and just be quiet and focus on what really matters. It's cool.
Yeah, but it's so difficult. And I feel lame saying that. Like I struggle with driving in silence. Like I struggle with, oh no, I don't have service and my podcast just went out. What am I going to do for the 20 minutes before I have service again? That's so lame. Why is that? Why are we like that?
I think we're trained that way by our culture. And I think particularly people of our generation and people younger than us, it's like, had iPhones from the time we were like preteens to teens.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're trained to just like be overloaded with all these images and all this stuff that like you listen to and you think like, oh, this is good. I enjoy this.
Right.
But it's like, even if it's good stuff, it just becomes too much after certain period of time.
Wait, it turns out I don't really enjoy this. I just have a dopamine feedback loop addiction, and I can't separate myself. I mean, I'm totally guilty of that.
I know.
And our attention spans are this big.
Right.
So, and I think silence is scary.
Yeah. Why? I mean, I totally agree, but I want you to say why.
I think just like getting, at least for me, just like getting caught up in my thoughts, like get on the phone or listen to music and just ignore, ignore reality.
I had a spiritual director who told me, like, I was required to start, like, blocking out time on the way. I've got about a 45-minute commute to work. And he was like, no, you've got to take, like, 15 minutes at least and just be quiet. And I was like, but I'm listening to Father Mike Schmidt, Catechism in a Year. And he's like, I don't care. I don't care how good the thing you're listening to is. You just need to be quiet. I mean, even in my prayer time, right, I've got fairly structured prayer time that I try to do every day, and I fail sometimes for sure. But the hardest part is the time after I've done all my sort of rote prayers, and it's when I'm supposed to be listening to God, and I almost can never do it. Like, I fail.
Singing a song in the back of your head?
Oh, I'm always. Like, I'm reliving an awkward conversation I had 20 years ago. I'm thinking about what I would do if ISIS kicked down the door right now and I had to defend the church slash my family slash the school or whatever it is from a terrorist. It's wild. I get lost in it. I'm not good. I'm not good at being quiet.
That happens to me during prayer. And then I'm like doing my rote prayers. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I stopped. What happened?
The other day we were praying. I'm sure I mentioned this before on air, but we pray the rosary. Me and the kids pray the rosary at night as we clean up the house, right? We've got like a 20-minute block. Mom makes dinner, so mom doesn't have to clean up anything, right? So after that, mom usually takes the baby to bed. Me and the kids, we start cleaning the kitchen and all of that, and we say the rosary out loud, right? And I've gotten crap for it because that doesn't sound very contemplative. It's not, okay? It's not contemplative, right? But it's good. I want to pray the rosary every day as a family, and that's how we do it, right? And I mean, we make fun of each other all the time because somebody will say, like, Hail, Holy Queen, and you'll hear somebody say, now and at the hour of our death, amen. Or, like, you just get the prayers crossed because you get to where you can't even, like, for regular prayer, where you're purposely saying stuff, let alone being quiet and talking to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you, it's so hard to do. It's so scary. If you want silence and you need silence, you really have to do some violence to yourself.
Ooh.
And,
like, violence for silence.
Violence for Silence, yeah. Exactly.
There's a cool band name, I call it.
Violence for Silence.
Yeah, I call that band. I know what
Tears for Fears, Violence for Silence.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
There's an exchange rate.
And the band does music that's outside of, like, audible range.
But you definitely, and, like, in our faith, we, in the Catholic faith, we believe so much of, like, visible and outward realities that reflect and bring about true spiritual realities. And you've just got to start with practicing silence. And you brought up the car. It's a great way to start is, even if it's just 15 minutes of your car ride, just no radio, no podcast, no Spotify. And that's a great way to practice. One of my favorite ways to try and practice outward silence to bring about interior silence is choose to have at least one conversation a day where your goal is to speak as little as possible.
Oh, interesting. Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. You're, instead of waiting for the next thing of, oh, they said this, and I get to say something cool to show how cool I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'll, like, answer people's questions, of course.
And then ask them questions about themselves?
Exactly. That's what you do. You have to ask them questions. Like, my goal is to listen and learn.
Right. Also, for totally selfish reasons, it makes people like you more.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a life hack. Asking people questions about themselves is like the best way to get on somebody's good side. Because everybody, I love to talk about me. I'm my favorite person. That's bad. I have to work on it. But I love to talk about me. And I had somebody tell me that one time. They're like, dude, don't talk about yourself. Like, ask other people questions. Even if you don't care. And you'll get to where you care. You'll get to where you're good at it. And so that's something that I really have to try hard to do a good job of because I fail at it all the time.
I practice it. I'm not good at it. I'm just trying.
You're practicing.
Yeah, I'm practicing. I'm working on it.
What are some other strategies? Because I like the idea. I mean, nobody here disagrees that it's good to sit in silence, especially when we're having conversations with our Lord, right? Mm. But we're all really bad at it. Like, what has worked for some of you guys, other than turning off music in the car? What's something else?
You go ahead.
When I came out to Heritage last year, I told myself, before Heritage, I was horribly addicted to my phone and TikTok and all that. And I found myself scrolling on TikTok for hours when I was in my little house at Heritage. And I was like, I am on 200 acres of beautiful land. Like, what am I doing rotting in my house?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I need to delete this. So I deleted TikTok and then, like, kept the others for a little while. But then I was like, okay, I don't need these either. Right. So then I got rid of Instagram and Facebook. And, like, that's been pretty amazing. Like, I don't really know what's going on in the world anymore, that's but great. I don't really need to. Like, my mom will text me. She's like, this happened. And I'm like, okay.
Neat.
Well, yeah. I didn't know that. She's like, you don't watch the news. I was like, I don't even have a TV. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, like,
How's your life changed, though? Like, how's your, like, outlook changed and everything?
Like, getting rid of the what are you saying? Audible noise? What
did you say? Oh, yeah, audible, yeah.
Getting rid of that and also the visual noise has, I think, definitely changed my attention span, one.
Totally.
And I find hobbies in different things. Like, I've been reading a lot more. I read, like, 13 books since being at Heritage, which is a lot for me.
Yeah.
In 10 months. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, just doing that. And then also just, again, being in the quiet and just, like, sitting outside and listening to the nature rather than my phone screaming at me.
That's awesome. So. Yeah, I find all these things that I try to impart on my kids, I really need to have imparted on myself, which is frustrating because I'm an adult male who can do whatever I want. I own my house and own the electricity and own my phone. And like, I don't, the only person who can tell me to stop doing things, right, is me, really. And that's tough. And so I've started in a big way. My wife and I have sort of purposely been doing this, thinking about the rules we have in our kids, for our kids, and like why we don't have those same rules for ourselves. And some of them, right, I don't let my son go spend the night at girls' houses. I spend the night in a girl's bedroom every single night. I've been married to her for 14 years. It's been great, right? But a lot of them, in regards to like, we obviously, our kids don't have social media, they don't have screens, we don't have a smart TV, we don't have cable. The only way to watch television in my house is a DVD, right? And, and all that stuff. And so, but we started doing that with ourselves. Like, I have my phone, I keep locked down, right? I keep, and obviously I know my own password, right? But I've got it where there's, you know, it screens for any like adult material and it won't let me, download any apps or anything. Now I can take 5 minutes and go through and type in my password and disable and whatever if I want to download an app or something. But 9 times out of 10, I realize like somewhere in that process, like, wait, this isn't worth it. Like, why do I want to do it? And I will say this. I think this is good for everybody to hear. And I know it's kind of preaching from the to the choir now because we've all heard it so many times. But social media is so lame, and it makes you so lame. It makes you so lame. I was bullied by my coworkers into getting rid of all my stuff. And I'm really glad that I was. Like, it's the best thing in the world. And then I, in turn, bullied my wife into deleting her Facebook and some of those things. We can still... She can still access it on her computer, and I can still access like Twitter or something on my computer. But that has to be a purposeful thing, and a purposeful, not just like I'm bored, whip this out. Oh, let me stare, scroll.
Yeah, one of the, I think personally, the like worst thing about social media was the comments.
Oh, and, yeah. Like,
people's comments about something was like making me upset, and I'm like, I shouldn't be worried about what these random people are talking about. And I was like, okay, I need to get rid of that.
Here's a picture of someone who I'm nowhere near, and here's someone completely random talking like about them.
Yeah, I know. YouTube comments are the worst, because it's like,
tell me about
they're
it.
So vitriolic, and then it's like if you watch a video that says something that you agree with, and then the person in the comment section says, like, somehow contradicts that, then you get angry with that person. Yeah. Like, I disagree with you about disagreeing with this.
And it's the lamest stuff, too. That people have these problems, like, I hope your kids can't read. And like, what? What a strange personal comment. It's just unnatural, I think. Yeah. It's all unnatural. I'm not just going to, I mean, this isn't all just me crapping on social media, right? There's a lot of ways to do this. In fact, when I got rid of social media, I found out what I started doing is, man, I was so up to date on the news. Just scroll every story, some stupid story about a humpback whale, some stupid story about like a dog who saved a kid, and there's just some stupid story. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, finally, I'm at the bottom of like 800 pages on CNN or Fox or whatever, and it's some like old folks home opening in some county in Wyoming or something. And I'm like, what? Who am I? It's just gross, but it is a muscle. That's what I've learned. It's such a muscle that you have to force yourself to do over and over again until you eventually enjoy it.
Yeah. And with the news, I have a phone that has no access to any internet, social media, anything.
Pull it out. Everybody needs to see it.
What's this?
What?
The Lite Phone 2?
The Lite Phone 2?
Is it everything you need?
L-I-T-E?
L-I-T-E. No. That's what you would think.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a gross hipster who has to misspell words.
Yeah. L-I-G-H-T. No way.
They spell
that's
the
even cooler.
Right. I know. I saw that.
Real hipsters do things the way that we used to do things before hipsters even existed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The amount of love that grew in my heart for this company when I saw that the word was spelled the normal way. I was just like, wow.
I actually think it was Miller Lite, the beer brand, that started misspelling the word light.
Was it?
I think that's where it started, like 40 years ago or something.
Was it? That tracks.
Yeah.
And now I love this phone. It's because it does so little, and now I need so little out of it.
Yeah. But it's a mature decision for you to be like, I need this. Like, yeah. I need to make this decision to forcibly remove myself from all this garbage. Like, I have to do that. I have to password protect my phone like I'm a child, because otherwise I will just give myself over to mindless brain rotting nothingness.
Yeah.
Interestingly, this episode of Honest Guy is actually brought to you by the Lite Phone.
Exactly.
The segment of this episode. The first segment was the Orthodontist
of Atlanta.
Yeah. But this one is the Lite Phone.
I got a few tips, John Henry.
Yeah, please.
So, you know, I think of it as somebody that if you go to the gym and then all of a sudden somebody's like, oh, yeah, well, you got to be bench pressing 300 pounds and all this stuff. Like, John Henry's bench pressing 300 pounds spiritually with the way that he handles his phone.
Easily.
So for those that may not, they think that that leap is too extreme for them. One of the things that I do, and my wife and I both do this, and you can do this if you're married or not, it doesn't matter, is either keep your phone out of your bedroom or intentionally keep it away from your bed. So if you just live in just, oh, I'm a student and I just have one room, okay, cool. Keep it on your desk away from your bed so that you cannot reach it. Oh, it's my alarm clock. Alarm clocks are $7.
Right. Yeah, we bought the regular old Bell alarm clocks in my house.
Yeah, that's what I have. I have a old digital alarm clock. It was $7 on Amazon. And so those two things can be a major game changer. I'm still on social media, and we also want you to follow Honest to God on Instagram, which is honest_god_YA. If you subscribe to that or follow that, then your algorithms will change, and you will stop seeing crap, and you'll start seeing good things for your soul.
Yeah, and I want to chime in on that, too, about sort of, like those strategies, removing your phone, right? I try to leave my phone in the car, right, when I'm get home from work, and I try not to bring my phone and stare at it in the bedroom, right, in my house, mostly because I don't want my kids to see me with the phone. I wish I could say primarily it's my own quest to hold it. No, primarily it's because I don't want to look like a hypocrite in front of my kids when I'm saying, like, no, you can't have a phone. You're 14 years old. That's ridiculous, right? Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. But I do those things not every time I say – anytime I tell anybody that or make any recommendation like that, I always try to follow it up with, I'm not saying this because I'm really holy. I'm saying this because I'm super weak.
Very weak.
Like, I'm pathetic and weak and, like, failing constantly in my quest for holiness. And so I have to treat myself, once again, like a child. Yeah. Because otherwise it's not going to, I'm not strong enough.
Yeah. Another thing I would add is, you know, the phone can also be an aid to silence if you are moving in, if you want to move in that direction, you're like, I can't put it down. Well, I would say one thing that's worked for me is, like, you know, with the music you listen to, like, you know, listen to something that's going to help you be more silent. Totally. Like Gregorian chant.
Totally.
It's like, there's nothing, that's the, like, one music genre we can say its sole purpose is glorifying God.
Right.
In the Catholic tradition. So, like, and you don't know the words, you can't sing along to them. So it's like,
it's even better, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, it just quiets you. And so it can put you into this mode where it's like, okay, I've listened to like 5 or 10 minutes of this, I can turn it off, and now I can actually be silent.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, reading scripture on your phone, doing that kind of things, listening to, like, a Lectio Divina podcast, like, stuff like that can actually be, like, rather than looking at the phone as, like, oh, this is, like, this chain I have on me, this, like, cursed thing that is preventing me from being silent, use it to actually help you to be silent.
Yeah, the phone thing has gotten so tough. I didn't even have one until not too long ago, and my boss at an old gig I had made me get one, and I have watched how it caused my life to, like, deteriorate before realizing, like, oh, I have to be a big boy and stop doing this. All right, unless you guys have any last minute hot takes on this, I just passed out some popsicle sticks, and I want you to pick one of them, and we're going to answer it. Yeah,
I do have a hot take. Whether it's news, social media, whatever it is that's your thing that makes you think, I can't peel back. With the news, don't be prideful. You knowing what's happening halfway across the world is not going to change it. Prayer is the one thing you can do that will make the most difference for all these news stories if you really care. And with your friends, you praying for them will be much more helpful than you liking their posts on Instagram.
100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even better than you liking a post that says, please pray for so-and-so. You can actually just pray for them. That's a really cool thing you can do. All right, that's awesome. All right, the first one is for Julian. Julian, would you rather be 7'4" or 4'7"? There is a right answer.
There is a right answer. My answer is actually 7'4".
Obviously. You wrote this.
Much more functional.
Yeah. The perfect height. I've talked about this on the show before. The perfect height, 12 feet tall. If I could pick any height, I'd be 12 feet tall. I would be a professional basketball player without ever having to do anything. Right? My hands would be like this big. I just stand by the goal every time. I would get cast in, like, every movie. I'd be like it'd be amazing. 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
All right. What you got, JJ? Pick one and let's hear it.
What would you want to be the patron saint of? Thought about this a lot. right now the two front runners are trust in God's will or gratitude to God.
Oh, what a mature, well thought out answer. Yeah, I dig that. Those are good.
Delightful.
Yeah, the light, patron saint of light phones.
Patron saint of technology that doesn't do technology.
I love it. What about you, Troy?
Mine is, if you could change one thing about the way you look, what would it be? Mine is my beard's got these two little bald spots here.
Yeah.
And just, whenever I grow it out, it just looks awkward. I can't have a full, thick beard.
Derma roller.
Mm.
Yeah, check out a derma roller. I struggle, too. I get kind of thin right in here. Yeah.
Give every man's answer.
Did you just say same?
Same.
All right, what about you, Olivia?
It's everywhere.
We got about 20 seconds left.
What do you like to do in your spare time? I paint, I read, scroll on my phone. Try to sit in silence.
I love it. That's awesome. And that's a good way to end the show. Guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. It's been Honest to God, a production of The Quest at Lammeth Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.